joy to see all of you here even this morning. Let's turn back to Matthew. This morning, open Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Remember, the last time we're in the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. Jesus, there we remember, sending out his disciples, warning them about the difficulties that they will face, telling them that they will be persecuted wherever they go because of the gospel, but telling them also that they should not fear, for he is always with them. They must go out there, preach the gospel, that Christ is the man of peace. However, he has not come to bring peace, but he has come to bring the sword. In other words, he has come to separate between the chaff and the wheat, telling his disciples that as they go to preach this gospel, they must expect God to reward them. Yes, there will be persecution, but they will also be rewarded. We find ourselves then in chapter number 11 this morning, and we will read verse 1 to 6. Looking at chapter number 11, you need to realize that the focus changes from Jesus a little bit to John the Baptist. And we have spoken a little bit last week about John the Baptist and his message about Jesus. Let us see this morning what the Bible reveals and teaches us or warns us as we read this text of Scripture. And the title of the message this morning, John the Doubtful Baptist. John the Doubtful Baptist. And I'm aware that the word Baptist is not used the same to John as we are using it today. However, I found it right to put it that way. If you want a different title for the sermon, then a doubtful Christian named John the Baptist. Let's read together from verse 1 to verse 6. The Bible reads as following. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word to his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them." Verse 6, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. If you have been a Christian for long, you will know that feeling of uncertainty, the feeling of lack of conviction about your own faith, the feeling of doubt sometimes, especially when you look at your own failures, when you look at your own sinfulness. You sometimes look and doubt, you don't see or you don't believe actually that you are truly a Christian in a way. You look at your own failure, you look at your own sinfulness, you consider how you quench the Holy Spirit of God. You consider how you find yourself doing the very same things you don't want to do and failing to do the things which you want to do. And in most cases, it is when you are going through a rough page in your book of life, when you go through tough circumstances in this life. There you stand and you wonder if God is on your side. You stand there and you wonder if God really loves you. You question yourself, am I truly a Christian? Have I believed the right message? Have I hold on to Christ the right way? The Bible here tells us that Jesus then continued with his mission which he has come to do on earth, reconciling men to God, setting the captives free. The Bible tells us that he sent disciples throughout the regions to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And he continues to do great deeds. These great deeds were seen and reported throughout the world. However, John the Baptist, the man who was blessed so dearly by God to be Christ for us, a man who came to point to us Jesus Christ, the man who trusted God, the man who humbled himself, as we've seen last week, pointing to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," humbling himself and saying, "Jesus must increase and he must decrease." This man finds himself behind bars. He finds himself in prison, almost to be slaughtered for preaching the good news of the kingdom of God to sinners. This is the man who was filled by the Holy Spirit. Please listen. This man in prison is a man filled by the Holy Spirit. This man in prison is a man who trusted God in all that he said and in all that he did. He trusted God. He put God first. In the center of this man's heart was Jesus. Of first importance in this man's life was Jesus. He finds himself in prison. This is the man who was so brave. This man was so brave, and he came and rebuked the leaders of Israel at the time. He rebuked them, calling them brood of vipers in need of repentance, telling them that they need God in their lives, regardless of the fact that they are so religious. A brave man who preached the good news of the kingdom of God. But church, sometimes a time comes when a man forgets the good news or forgets the goodness of God in his life. Sometimes comes a time where a man forgets what the Lord has done for him. And that is the situation we find John the Baptist in. And when you forget what the Lord has been doing or has done, you find yourself in a state of doubt, doubting God's promises. So this morning, I want to reveal three possible things which went wrong with John the Baptist, or three possible things which caused John the Baptist to doubt Jesus. And as I reveal this, I want us then to be careful of these three things. Firstly, it's ignorance towards the truth revealed by the Holy Spirit. That is what went wrong firstly. Ignorance towards the truth already revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. You read in verse number 2 to 3, it says, "When John heard in prison about the deeds of Jesus, he sent word to his disciples and said, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" What is clear from this verse, church, is that John allowed his situation to blind him from the truth that was revealed to him about Jesus, the truth that he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. He allowed himself to be blinded to the good deeds that Christ has been doing. That is why we find John in this situation. He ignored the good deeds that pointed to every man and woman, even this morning, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John finds himself in prison. Please, I want to repeat this again. He finds himself in prison for preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that John preached against Herod, who was king at the time. He preached against him. What did Herod do? He preached against his evil ways, because Herod divorced his wife and he took his brother's wife and made him her his own wife. John the Baptist said, "No, that is incorrect." But he found himself then in prison for preaching this good news. So in other words, church, John had not done anything wrong. John had been pleasing to God. He preached the gospel. He was a great believer if you read the Bible. Yet, when his life took a painful turn, sometimes life can take a painful turn, and when his life took a painful turn, John did not look up to the cross or lifted up his eyes unto heaven. He looked down and he doubted the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. Probably John was asking himself some so-called important questions, if you will. Where is God when I needed him the most? He's sitting behind bars. The knife is sharpened that he will be slaughtered. And he's asking a question. Where is God when I need him the most? Where is his helping hand when I'm crying for so long, having this sleepless night, and my pillow is wet with my tears? Where is God? Does he even feel my pain? Does he even see me in this situation? Where is my blessing that he has said is going to bless me? Blessing me going in and blessing me going out. Where is this blessing right now? I have been doing so much good things for God. Why am I finding myself in this situation? When we end up saying, why do bad things happen to good people, even though they are not good people? He's asking this question. Where is the protection that he promised that he will be my rock and my salvation, will protect me by day and will protect me by night? Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Where is this protection right now when I find myself in prison? And church, this question seems to be of legitimate concern. But the problem with this question, they rise up from doubts. They rising up from looking away or ignoring the truth of God. And that is dangerous to the well-being of the believer. It is dangerous to have doubts about what is being revealed. Because with every doubt, church, there's a possibility to fall away from the truth. With every doubt, there's a possibility to miss what is really happening in your life. So now, we realize that this doubt John has here is in contrary to what John has been preaching. John has been giving us the good news about Jesus, telling people to hope on Christ, telling people not to be ignorant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, take heed, look. Now John himself is not looking, he's standing in contrary to what he has been talking. There's a possibility now for John that he will fall away from the truth. So the problem here that we see is that when John heard, please remember, he's in prison, but he still hears what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing outside. John had these strange questions. Are you the one? Should we wait or look for another? So John is doubting after hearing the good deeds of Jesus. It is possible for people, especially believers, to doubt even when they hear the good things about Jesus. It is possible for a believer to doubt his own healing, perhaps, that might happen, even though Jesus healed other people through medications and through prayer and through doctors, but you might still stand and be doubting, even though you hear the good news or the good deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ. John is doubting after hearing the good deeds of Jesus. It is the same with each and every one of us. Doubting the promises of God, doubting what Jesus said he will do and undo in your life. But most importantly, the people out there, those who are not Christian, they also doubt. They doubt that Jesus has done something great for the world. They doubt that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then they look for another source of help, doubting Jesus and what he has already done, questioning his death. They are questioning his death today. Did he really die? Did he really live? They are questioning his vision birth. They are questioning his future return. They are questioning everything about Jesus. They are even questioning the promise of salvation to those who will believe. Because they doubt what is already revealed to them. So what we have here is that because of hardship that took place in the life of John, here's the thing. John lost confidence. That is what this doubt is about. John lost confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Church life can cause a believer to lose confidence in Christ, especially when the believer will be ignorant to the promises of God, to be ignorant to the teachings of Scripture, ignorant to the teachings of the Bible. That was John's problem. He ignored his own confession. He ignored his own message. Behold, the Lamb of God. Among you standeth the one in whose sandals I cannot untie. He began to doubt his own message. He began to doubt what he heard. Remember, not only what he preached, he was supposed to hold unto that. No, but he heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. Yet, he asked again, are you the one, or must we look for another? It is possible, church, to hear even that inner voice, if you will, convincing you, the Spirit of God telling you that Christ is who he says he is, and still go around look for a Jesus of your own choosing. So don't think, let me put it this way, let us not think high of ourselves and think that John was just irrational or John was just unreasonable. No, that is not true. You yourself are a John in your own life. There are times when a believer doubts, forgetting all the good deeds that Christ has done, forgetting that Christ has taken you from one step to another, or one level of glory to another. Yet along the way, you think he has failed you. Why? Because Jesus does not give you what you think you deserve. That is the problem. When Jesus does not give you what you think you deserve, then you begin to doubt whether he is the Christ. So I want to tell you, church, this is not the first time. This is not the last time. Many believers had doubts in the past, and many believers continue to doubt today. This is something that is not new. But what did Jesus say about doubts? He said to his disciples, it is because of lack of faith. When you doubt, it's because you lack faith in Christ. Remember when Jesus was walking in the water, what did Peter do? He tried to do exactly as Christ did, but he lacked faith. He began to sink. In Matthew chapter number 8, we are told that Jesus had to calm a storm. Why? Because the disciples doubted that Jesus was in control. They thought he was asleep. The Bible tells us that Thomas, one of the disciples, one of the apostles, who preached the gospel throughout the whole region of India, before he died, there was a time when he doubted that Jesus rose from the dead. Doubting what? Exactly the same message that was preached to him when Christ was still walking with him as a disciple. Doubting a revealed truth about Jesus. So church, doubts cause people to avoid making decisions. That's what happens. The reason why we don't make some decisions, because we doubt. Doubts stop people from making good decisions. Doubt actually reveals people's faithlessness. Listen to James chapter number 1 verse 6. Let's turn together there. James chapter number 1 verse 6. This is what the Bible says. It says, let him ask. Now James is talking about the one who is in need. If you are in need of help, if you are in need of God in your life, James says, ask in faith. So let us read. He says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. The problem, you don't have what you ask, is because you ask amiss. What does it mean? You ask full of doubts. What are you doubting? The promises that you already know, the revealed truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. So as believer, or as a believer or believers, we don't want to be ignorant towards what is revealed by God. What God has revealed through the Holy Spirit about the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be men and women of faith We want to believe because God said so. And what God has said, that is what we need to believe. Let me bring one small angle before I move to the second point. I don't believe that John saw the success of Jesus and John was discouraged. Sometimes when people see other people's success, they get discouraged. But that is not about John. But it is possible for you and I to see someone else's success in the church or in life and get discouraged, thinking that God has forsaken you. But that is not true. Let us not allow our heart and our mind to be ignorant of God's promise for each and every one of us. What went wrong? Ignorance towards revealed truth. Secondly, what went wrong? Believing what pleases. It's a problem even today. Wanting to believe what pleases you and you alone. Baba Ras normally pause and drink water and nobody complains. So I will do the same. So church, John here will realize that he wanted to hear what will please him. Because every time, church, you want to hear what will please you, than what is revealed, you will be doubting what is true. He wanted to hear something else. He already knows Jesus, but somehow behind his mind and in the subconscious of his heart, he is not very satisfied. There is something else that he thinks he should hear to please him in his situation. The Bible says, John sent a word by his disciples and said, as we have been reading, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Look at verse 5 and 6. Look at Jesus' response, verse 5 and 6 as well. And Jesus answered them. Now Jesus answering the disciples sent to him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walks, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached unto them." So, what we see here, looking at John, is that John only wants his disciple to go to Jesus, so that whatever they bring from Jesus is what he will believe. Only then John will believe. If he hears something new coming from Jesus. So they must go to Jesus and come back to report to him. Funny enough, church, here's the problem with this whole thing. Firstly, funny enough, some of John's disciples had a problem with Jesus' ministry. You read John chapter number 3, which we will read the next week. You read John chapter number 3, you realize that these people came to John and says, "Rabbi, our great teacher, the man that you baptize beyond Jordan is actually making more disciples than you. And everyone is going to him." These people had a problem with Jesus. But John wants the very same people to bring him good news about Jesus. How can a person who has a problem with Jesus tell you something that is revealed about it? Definitely, he will be telling you something that will please you. That is the problem here. So John wants these people to bring good word about Jesus. Really? I don't think a person who is against Jesus will bring a good word about Jesus. So what we realize is that the temporal afflictions, that the temporal troubles of this world has caused John to put his trust on men than what is revealed. That is when we want to believe what pleases. Putting your trust in mere men. Putting your trust in what people say without checking it with the scriptures. John wants people to tell him stories about Jesus. Just like today, they must tell him stories about Jesus. Things that will please him. John wants to be amused, as it were. He wants something to tinkle him about Jesus. He wants to hear people giving false promises, if you will, about Jesus. People telling him, "You know what, brother? Jesus have a word for you today.
Be strong, encourage us. You will be out of your prison very soon. That is what he wants to hear. But did Jesus say that? Be courageous, brother. You will be out of your trouble. Hope in God. True hope in God. But is there a promise that you will be out of your prison? But that is what John wants to hear. Church, it is the problem when a believer wants to hear what the believer wants to hear in his situation. It is situation that causes people to turn a blind eye to the truth. And it is dangerous to the believer. It is a problem when a believer wants to doubt the initial message that was preached to him and he wants a new revelation. Have you heard those words? I want a new revelation. It's a problem. You want to hear what pleases. John, I'm using this generally, wants a new revelation. Something new about Jesus. Something that will please me about Jesus. John wants to hear something better than the truth that is already preached. Is there anything better than the truth that is already been preached? But John wants to hear something better about Jesus. And that is the very same problem we encounter in our Christianity today. People want to hear what will please them. You don't tell them what will please them, then they walk away. Where? To look for the right Jesus or to look for a better Jesus. Many have gone out to look for a better Jesus. Why? Because they want something that pleases, a new revelation. So John says to Jesus, shall we look for another? In other words, according to John, there is something wrong or something missing from this Jesus. Regardless of the truth and regardless of the faithful testimony of Scripture about Jesus, I doubt this Jesus. He does not hear my prayers. You have come to that yourself. This Jesus does not hear my prayer. This Jesus does not give me what I want. This Jesus of this church does not bless me like the Jesus of the other church out there. There is something wrong about this Jesus. And please, I want to say it again. I don't want to blame John too much. Imagine, I'm not saying what he's saying is right, but imagine, the faithful man of God, the Christian has been praying all the time, the man who preached for Jesus, about Jesus, the man who turned many souls unto heaven. He's in prison, but Herod, the wicked man, is having a party. Yo, that's bad, church. Look at it that way. You, a Christian who have been faithful to God, suffering, in prison, ready to be slaughtered. But your enemy, you're looking at him, is having a party and there's nothing wrong. And then John 10 to say, you know what? Perhaps I need a better Jesus. Because I expected a Jesus who will come and deal with Herod's sin immediately. That is what we want. We want a Jesus who will do things when we want him to do things. I want a Jesus who will deal with the sin of this Herod immediately. I have preached about Jesus in Matthew chapter number 3 verse 11. I have told people his winnowing fork is in his hand and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. And he will take the chaff and separate it from the wheat. But this Jesus is not doing it. Herod is having a party. That is why John is asking this question. Are you the one? Are you the judge of the wicked? John thinks that his disciples then will give him a better message about Jesus. You see, there's a possibility that we also have this kind of concerns. Then we end up wanting to hear what pleases us. And different from John, in most cases when we as Christians are in sin, we want to hear something that pleases, not the truth. Is this the right Jesus? And that is the question we find here. Why? Because John wants Jesus to deal with his issues according to John's way. Wanting to Jesus to deal with your issues according to your own established way. I want him to do it my way.
Maybe because your insurance is my way. Jesus must do things your way. So John speaks like one of those Christians who claim to trust Jesus, but in actual fact, they just want to control this Jesus, what he should do and how we should deal with issues in life. And you hear such people say, when I pray, or when I do 1, 2, 3 for God, I know God will do something for me. But then when God doesn't do that, then they think they have a wrong God. Why? Because they think they control God. They tell God what to do and when to do. I want to hear this Jesus. I want to hear him saying, I will do something about my situation. How many times I'm going to come to this church, I don't hear Jesus saying, I will do something about my situation. Is this the right Jesus? I want to hear him telling me, I will do something about this situation. I want to hear Jesus saying, I will destroy this Herod. I will make sure that his party turns into a funeral. I want to hear that. I want to hear him say, I will crush my enemies and put them under my feet. I want to hear him. But he's not saying it. Is this the right Jesus? Because he doesn't tell me not to worry about Herod. But what does he say? He says, go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame they walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor, those who are poor in the spirit, they receive the gospel. In other words, go tell John, I am doing exactly what God sent me to do. I am not here to do man's bidding. I am doing exactly my mission. My hand of grace cannot be manipulated by people. That is what Jesus is saying. I am doing exactly what I have to do. I am doing exactly what I am sent to do. My mission is not determined by man. Of course, it's not the popular Jesus of today. Who sits up and sits down, or stands up and sits down and fly out and fly in whenever people tell him to do. Christ, go heal that woman. He must do. Go give that lady a job. Jesus must go and do it. It's not that Jesus. He's standing there and says, you know what? Go tell John what you see. I am here for the gospel. Of course, I care about my people when they're in prison. But of first importance, it's Christ and the gospel. Is that what you have believed? He's not the Jesus who's tossed to and fro in the churches. Go bind that. Go lose that. He's not here to listen to people. Not even John, the greatest man ever lived, which you shall see next week. This is a strange Jesus to this strange world. But this is the true Jesus. So, Jesus is saying, John, do not seek to believe what pleases the body, or what gives temporal joy. Because that is the problem. We want to believe what pleases the body and gives temporal joy. You know what, John? I have not come to fulfill wrong expectations, but to be obedient to God, to heal the sick and raise the dead. And if you want to believe anything about me, test me on that. Have I raised the dead? Am I preaching the gospel? Am I saving sinners? Test me on that. If I have failed on that, we have a right to look for another Jesus. Not because I have failed to take you out of a prison. Unless Jesus has failed to do what men cannot do. Unless Jesus has failed to do what the only Son of God can do. You have no right to seek to believe whatever pleases you. So the message is simple. You need, or let me put it, say, we need to adjust our false expectations. That is what the world needs to do. Adjust your false expectations of Jesus. Never seek to believe that which pleases you for your own personal victory. Church, Jesus came to please God, not to please men. Jesus came to do God's will, not men's will. Jesus came to fulfill God's expectation, not men's expectation. That is what he's saying. What went wrong? John ignored what was revealed. John tried to believe what pleases, but deadly. What went wrong? John was offended by Jesus. Deadly being offended by Jesus. You go around, you hear people say, Jesus is not offensive. They will tell you that if your Jesus is offensive, then they will not believe to this Jesus. But Jesus is saying here, actually, there's a possibility that one is offended by Jesus. Look at verse number 6. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. If you have been reading your Bible continuously, you will remember Romans chapter number 9, verse 33. What does the Bible say there? Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and whosoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Jesus is a stumbling block, a rock of offense. Some will be offended by Jesus. So he says now, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. But let me bring a clarity here, church. When I say John was offended by Jesus, I don't mean in the same way that the world out there is offended by Jesus. We're speaking here as a matter of being disappointed by Jesus to the point that you fall away from the truth. That is what was happening to John. Being disappointed by Jesus to the point that you fall away from the truth. To the point that you drift back from the truth. He is offended by Jesus. Different from the world. When the world is offended by Jesus, it is because Jesus does not approve of their wicked ways. When he says repent, they get offended. But the Christian does not get offended when Jesus says repent. That is the offense we are talking about here. So as we read verse number 6, the word offense can be translated as to fall away. In other words, Jesus then is saying, when you have your doubts, because you will have your doubts. When you have your doubts, never allow your doubt to come and cause you to fall away from me. When I don't meet your false expectations, don't let your false expectations create a doubt that will drive you away from me. Because church, doubt traps or ensnare a person to think that Jesus' way is not working for him. There are times when people think that Jesus' way is not working for them, trying to think that there's a better way. But in answer to that, what is Jesus saying? How do we translate this literally? Jesus is saying, blessed are those who do not allow the way God is working in their lives to cause them to fall away from me. Blessed are those who do not allow the way God is working in their lives to give up on me or to give up on their faith. Because God will work in a way in your life that you do not approve or you are not pleased with. But blessed are those who do not allow that when it comes into their lives to fall away. To fall away from me, said the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, church, we must make a distinction then between what God has promised and what we are busy trying to make God promise. There are things that God has promised and there are things that we are trying to make God promise. There must be a distinction, or else we are bound to be offended by Jesus, because Jesus will not fulfill our expectations, because we create those expectations out of false or misunderstanding. So then, in order not to be offended by Jesus, we must learn to think correctly about Jesus and about his word. We must know that God is always right and we are wrong. God is faithful and we are not faithful but doubtful. That is what must always be in our minds. We must never allow our doubt to cause us to fall away, because God is always faithful to what he has promised, not what we are claiming he has promised. So Jesus is saying, when I don't meet your false expectation, do not let that drive you. Do not let drive you away. Church, one thing that I need to mention, please open Hebrews chapter number 11. The reason why I'm saying that, I want you to remember that doubt will always displease God. Doubt displeases God. Look at what Hebrews number 11 says. It says there, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whosoever will draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. It is faith that will help us not to be offended by the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? It is right believing that will help us not to be offended or to fall away from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words then, verse number 6 challenges our thinking. We need to stand there and ask questions. We must ask ourselves questions. Have I been disappointed by Jesus? Have I ever thought that Jesus' way of loving me was not good enough? Because that will offend you. That is the question you need to ask yourself and be honest to yourself. Have I been offended by the way Jesus guides me? When He tells me not to do what to do, have I ever been offended by the way He guides me? Have I ever been offended by the pain He allows me to go through? Because if I am offended by the things that Jesus allows me to go through, I am saying in that statement, Jesus is not doing or dealing with my life the way He should deal with my life. Have I been offended by Jesus? These experiences that I'm going through, the lack of funds, the lack of money that I'm going through in this life, is that not offending me or cause me to be offended by Jesus? The pain in my heart for the things that is happening around me, perhaps because of my family and children, the disappointing realities that I'm going through, have that not caused me to be offended by Jesus? We need to visit those questions and see whether we are not offended by Jesus. Because Jesus says, blessed are those who are not offended by Him. Let me read you what this Bible says, the ESV, in translating that verse. This beatitude, meaning this blessedness that we are reading about here, is actually a rebuke, a mild rebuke. John and his disciples must be open to God's unfolding plan about Jesus' ministry. Yeah, that's the truth. John and his disciples must be open-minded about God's unfolding plan. We must, in other words, submit to God's plan so that we are not offended by God. That is why Jesus says then, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. In other words, blessed is the one who understands and submits to my authority. Blessed is the one who expects me to do as I please with his life. Blessed is the one who does not question my decisions and my choices for his life. That's a little bit tough, but that is what we need to accept. God has plans and purposes for each and everyone's lives, and we must accept it. John then allowed false assumptions to cover his mind. John allowed himself to falsely conclude that Jesus did not meet his expectations. And church, when you are in prison like that of John, truly, you expect Jesus to do something about it. But I think it's time you step back as a person and ask the question before you get offended. Before, in other words, Jesus doesn't meet your expectation, you go back. Am I expecting from Jesus what He has promised? Is my expectation, in other words, biblical? But that is the problem. If your expectation is not biblical, you will be offended by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, John now is known as a doubtful man. But before he went to prison, this man wanted one thing about Jesus. He wanted Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. One thing he knew about Jesus. Now that he's in prison, now that he's in a situation and circumstance in his life, he wants one thing from Jesus. Jesus to be what John wants him to be. It is possible to preach one message the other day and preach then another different message the next day. Why is all this possible? If you step back to look at what God has promised or have said in His Word.
building false expectations in your mind. And please be warned, John is not the only one who suffers this. Many Christians, as I've said, have wrong expectations about Jesus. And when their expectations are not met, then they are challenged to feel offended by Jesus, saying Jesus does not fulfill what he said he will fulfill. But church, before we come to an end, there is also something beautiful about this doubt, this doubtful statement of John. Look at it. When John doubts, when doubt overwhelmed John's mind, what did John do? John refused to remain in the dark. When doubt came to him, John wanted to come to the light. John refused to remain without the right perspective about Jesus. I'm bringing a positive. When doubt overwhelmed his soul, he wanted to find out, is this the right Jesus? What does this mean? Have I believed the right Jesus? Is my Jesus right? Because church, John is not complaining about his imprisonment. He's not mentioning anything about prison. He wants to know, is my Jesus right? Have I believed the right Jesus? In other words, I'm saying, there's a way here that he's pointing to himself. Because sometimes when you point to God and say, God, are you real? You forget to ask, have you believed the right one? John wants to know, have I believed the right Jesus? That is positive from this doubt. Is my Jesus the real one? Regardless of John's ignorance, regardless of John's desire to hear from Yemen a message to please him, regardless of John's taking offense on the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to be fully satisfied about Jesus. Do you want to be fully satisfied about Jesus? Do you ask yourself, have I? Not are you the right Jesus? No. Have I believed the right Jesus? I think that is the question. Let's come to an end. Church, to deal with doubt as believers, we must accept what God says something is. We must remember God's character. He is a faithful God. Whatever he says it is, it remains, regardless of how we feel. So we need to accept God's word as it comes to us. We must not believe our own doubts. We need to put our doubt under that gospel microscope. It must be the gospel that scrutinizes our lives so that the gospel helps us not to doubt. The Bible says God's promises are always true. So when we doubt, we need to remember that God's promises are always true in Christ Jesus. Then we must not let any circumstance to discourage us to the point that then we begin to doubt God. At all times, church, we need God's word. Only God's word can strengthen and keep us from doubt. We need to study the word of God. We need to listen to the preached word of God. We must only be motivated by the preached word of God. That which is revealed must always come in our minds as we go through doubts as Christians. When do we doubt? We doubt when we forget that all things are possible with Jesus. That is what we must always remember. All things are possible with Jesus. Even when you go through that valley of the shadow of death and there seems to be no way out, all things are possible with Jesus. We must believe what Jesus or what the Bible teaches. Therefore, then we need to pray the Lord to help our unbelief. Remember, Peter said, or the disciple says, Lord, we pray that you increase our faith. The Lord must increase our faith. The Lord must help our unbelief. It is an unbelief that caused someone to doubt. We must always remember to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoicing in the Lord always is the key of fighting doubt. You cannot have doubt if you rejoice in the Lord. In other words, if you're holding on to the promises of God and live in accordance to what God has said. We need to look unto Jesus. We need to hold on to the truth and find our fulfillment in Him. In other words, then, let none of us settle for someone else. John refused to settle for something else. He wanted to know if his Jesus was true or correct or was real.
So let us not also settle for something less than the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us refuse to settle for something less. We want the real Jesus. In our doubting time, we still want the real Jesus. In other words, in our doubting time, we need to look unto the real Jesus. This is John's way of looking unto Jesus. Is my Jesus real? That will take away your doubts. How do you know that your Jesus is real? Look at God's promises. Has this Jesus fulfilled God's promises? Has he saved me? Am I a Christian? God bless. Amen. Let's pray.